Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. This is Shep Hyken. We are back with another episode of Amazing Business Radio. I have a very exciting guest today, Simon Harrison, who is the Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer for Avaya. And that is a company that, in short, helps customers connect to the companies anywhere in the world, basically helps people connect. So we're going to get started in a moment. A couple of quick announcements. And if you've heard the show before and listened to the show before, you know what's coming. If you've got an amazing story or question, just hit me on any of the social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera. I am there. If it is a question, use the hashtag AskShep. I'll either answer the question you send in on that channel. I'll either do it here on this show. I'll do it in my newsletter, or I may do it on my TV show, which is Be Amazing or Go Home. And you can find that show on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Roku. You can go to beamazing.tv. That's beamazing.tv and catch episodes there. All right, let's jump into our interview. Simon Harrison, VP, Senior VP, Chief Marketing Officer at Avaya. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Shep. Really looking forward to this, actually. Great.
So we'll have a great discussion. Now, I mentioned that your company is all about connecting people, but I just want you to give us like the elevator pitch so everybody knows where we're coming from. You're a platform that has been recognized in the customer service and experience world for years, and I just want the audience to know exactly what they do.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are a software provider, an applications provider, and communications solution provider that enables people like you and I to get connected to businesses and to be able to enjoy the benefits of the products or services that they may want to offer people like us. And in this perhaps ever more challenging experience economy world that we're living in, and we're quite passionate about empowering staff to be just as connected and empowered, because obviously when it comes to customer experiences, the ones you want to create, those memorable experiences, they're really enabled by employee experiences. They need to be having great experiences themselves. So yeah, right. We are proud to be perhaps making a difference in this world when it comes to enabling better connections than ever and actually enabling more productivity and the benefits as a result of that.
Yeah, I think on the inside of a company, trying to create a positive experience with the software and solutions that are provided are an extremely important part of the customer experience, because if you make it hard on that front line, it's going to permeate out to the customer. They're going to recognize that. And I sometimes sense frustration coming from, let's say I'm calling a support center, talking to an agent, and I sense the frustration is that I know they've had to open another program to look for something, to get a piece of information. I can only imagine how many screens they have open on their computer.
Yes, and probably more than ever, right? I mean, it's nuts how much, as a staff member, trying to create or inspire a customer to want to be a customer, to show that they feel good about what they're doing, and yet having to traverse a myriad of applications and complexity, it's almost an impossible scenario. So yeah, we are quite precise in being able to empower staff, not only through more of how we might compose the solutions they've got, combine what they've got with what we can deliver, but actually how we can, really help customers to focus on that more important factor of it being all about feelings. This is what people talk about, customer experience, and it's all this sort of technology discussion, but actually really the goal here is to make things as effortless as possible and to make people feel good about what it is they're doing. You make your staff feel good about what it is they're doing by making them engaged and empowered with the right kind of technology. It's going to translate to memorable, great customer experiences. It's obvious, right, Chip? And this is this is the obvious.
Yeah, and you're singing my song when you talk about that convenient and easy experience for the customer. And if we do it right, whether it's a digital experience, people coming in through a channel that isn't voice or video, so much video today, or it's direct human-to-human contact. Customers want an easy and convenient experience. I was just working with a client who called me out. They said, you're being fluffy on the whole convenient thing. I go, fluffy? What are you talking about? 3 years ago, I wrote an entire book titled The Convenience Revolution, and it was all about how companies are creating disruption by being more convenient than their competitors. Then we have this little thing called COVID-19 pandemic come along in 2020, and all of a sudden, all the ideas about convenience are no longer competitive disruptors, they're customers' expectations. Make it easy for me. I don't want to go to your store. I want it delivered. I, you know, whatever we can do to make it easy. And it goes more than just, you know, delivery. It's any interactions you're having with the customer. Where can it be made easier? It's that simple.
Absolutely right. I mean, ultimately, the experience ambitions have changed. If you look at all aspects of how we live our life, how we keep fit, how we eat, how we shop, how we travel, how we live, they've all changed. And I'd argue that the pandemic accelerated things.
It did. It accelerated the adoption of these ideas. Yeah,
absolutely. But let's, you know, consider for a moment that actually Industry 4.0, the biggest or the most amount of change in a single decade in terms of the innovation and technology around us was already causing quite a shift. You know, you talk about food services. In the food services themselves, when you think about the experiences you can have, you can go for a meal prep service and you might go by review and you might go because they've got, I don't know, lots of people saying you get plenty of gravy on your chicken. Or you might go by, well, hold on, what are your goals? You want to get fitter, you want to get faster, you want to get stronger. Here's what we would suggest for you. Now, that's an experience I'm going to buy. And we can go on, you know, probably forever talking about the many different experiences that people now not only want and expect, but that are more available if you consider a slightly different, looking at the technology through a slightly different lens. We think about composability, being able to propose solutions to create the right kind of experiences, share. And that, combined with this focus on making sure that people feel good about what they're doing, is the utopian design, really. That's what we're after.
I like the when you said the word composability. I have this vision in my mind of a conductor. There's a piece that's been composed by a songwriter or some music genius, and the conductor is like managing the orchestra and making it come to life. So you have kept it's over and over again. You've been using the word customer experience. And I have been preaching this for years, and all of the reports that have, and I think your background's in, is it in Gartner? Is that right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So you probably are involved with a lot of research still, but definitely in the past, that just kept saying customer experience is going to be the number one differentiator, you know, by the time we hit 2020. I think it started happening before that, but people don't just buy products anymore. They buy experiences. Even General Motors decided at some point we're no longer a car manufacturer in our customers' eyes. We have to deliver an experience that makes them want to not only buy from us, keep coming back, using us for service, providing the service that gets them to want to engage and stay loyal.
Absolutely right. I mean, that is it. I'm one of these crazy people that decides to get up every day and sit on a spin bike. And part of a Peloton community.
I did that this morning.
Today, right?
I did that this morning. I had my ride. I did 30 minutes with David Bowie music. I'm trying to remember who the instructor is, but that's what I did this morning.
But here's the interesting part, Chet. I was not interested in spin classes whatsoever.
I hate them.
The idea of sitting on a bike, you know, that lone piece of metal and sitting there and just feeling rather uncomfortable, not admiring any scenery, etc., is just not appealing to me. But being able to pick a preferred motivator who actually inspires me to be part of a community when I'm riding, to get high fives and, you know, seeing how people are doing with me and reconnecting with those people along on in future rides, being self-empowered to do something about my, you know, own physical fitness, is things like my training to your heart rate and so on, and all these things. That's the experience I'm buying. I'm buying an experience. That's what I want. I'm not buying a product. I'm not buying a spin bike. I'm buying a complete experience.
You can buy a spin bike for 1/10 the price of what a Peloton is. So here's how this is not a Peloton commercial. You and I have not been paid by Peloton. But what I'm about to say will make it sound like we are. And that is, you're not buying a spin bike. You're buying Peloton. You're buying the experience and all that comes with it. The ability to watch multiple programs live or pre-recorded. And then why it just blows my mind. And some of the companies now, they have direct competitors that they didn't have before, are really doing a good job of saying, hey, look at the world out there. They don't just want a piece of exercise equipment. We've got to create an experience around it. We're going to create a community around it even. Nothing makes me happier than at my age, because you can see who you're, who's also in your class. There could be 500, 1,000 people in your class. And I'm going, man, I'm in the half that makes the top half possible. No, that was school. I'm in actually in the upper half, and I'm beating people in their 20s and 30s. And I'm thinking, you know, this is me. It makes me want to come back, and I'm motivated. I will tell you though, and I know we digress a little bit here. The first time I ride my bike, I ride a street bike, and I can ride 50 miles, 60, 70 miles at a time. I'm not a great biker. I'm not a super fast biker, but I'm in good shape to do that. Mm-hmm. Got on that Peloton, 30 minutes. It kicks my butt.
Yes.
There's no letting up. It's just nonstop.
It's relentless, isn't it? And I have exactly the same. But I'm pushed. But the point is, a lot of these characteristics and experiences that I want in my personal life, with travel, I use a mapping app. It's a social mapping app. And people can say, you know, there's an incident ahead and we can all help each other out on the road, thinking out loud, sharing experiences with each other. I use, as I've touched on, things like meal prep services where I'm in control. I've got more influence, effortless, part of a community, more social, more connected, being able to configure things myself, then directly translates to what I want out of the work app. The app I'm using in my everyday, I'm thinking I want the same experiences. I want to be able to do things like engage the community of workers that I'm with. I want to be able to think out loud and get support in those ways. I want to be able to do things more myself. And that working differently really requires the kind of technology Avaya delivers. One of the apps we talk about quite a lot, it's called Avaya Spaces. And it's a great example of how we encourage all of those experiences as part of just getting things done in your day, that you can really relate to what it is that we're enjoying in our own personal lives as what makes those experiences great. And then we feel good. And then we feel more, we want to do more. We apply that discretionary effort because we feel good and we feel more empowered to get more done. So this is the really, really important thing, and great that you pointed out so clearly at the top there. People buy experiences, and this is directly translating in the business world too. It's not just about our personal lives.
So, and to summarize this topic, I think that customers have experiences they like and enjoy, and that sets the benchmark or the bar for anything they do. So a personal experience, a retail experience, is going to transfer over to a B2B experience if you're in that business. Your customers aren't comparing you anymore to your direct competitor, but to the best experience they've had from anybody, any company. Why can't your app be as good as the Peloton app? Why can't your speed be as quick as Amazon's? So it gets into it. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about experience thinking, and I want to get into personalization. That's an extremely important hot topic. Customers want to know that you're connected with them. You know who they are, and they want you to make it personal. We are talking with Simon Harrison, the Senior Vice President and CMO at Avaya, and we are going to be right back.
Hi, Shep Hyken, your customer service and experience expert, and I'm excited to tell you about my new book, I'll Be Back, How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. Now, this book is packed with idea after idea on how to, just as the title implies, get your customers to come back. In the book, you'll learn that repeat customers aren't always loyal customers. Now, both are great, but there's a big difference. You'll also learn about 10 reasons a customer may stop doing business with you and 3 reasons you would stop doing business with them. And one of my favorite lessons is a 6-step process for creating an I'll be back strategy. Of course, there's much, much more. You'll start getting more of your customers to say, I'll be back almost immediately. Just go to www.illbebackbook.com. Again, that's www.illbebackbook.com.
You're listening listening to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Simon Harrison. We've been talking about the importance of customer experience and how it's not always, actually, I don't even think it anymore is about the product. It really is about the experience. And before I get into asking you, Simon, another question, I just want to make a comment that you can have the best product in the world. If you don't create the experience around it that works for the customer, they're going to go find another place. That said, you can have the most amazing experience, but if your product doesn't live up to what it's supposed to do, people are going to say, I love them. They're very nice, but I got to go find something that works for me. So it really takes a combination of both. That said, and I'll start off with this question. If you had a choice of one being weighted a little bit more than the other, what would you choose? I think I know the answer based on what we've been talking about, but let's go there.
Well, it's a great question. Actually, I agree with you. There has to be a balance. But I would argue that if I'm buying a product that is slightly light on features, I don't know, let's say, I'll say a phone. And I know there's a couple of shortcomings, but in terms of being able to procure it, being able to enjoy the benefits of the kind of services that come with that brand, be able to resolve issues quickly, be able to, let's say if I decided I've kicked it around for a couple of weeks and I want to throw it back, I'm more likely to buy it to begin with. So even with that knowledge, of it may not necessarily be the utopian product, I'm more likely to buy if it gives me the right kind of experiences that I would describe as effortless. Right. Effortless is not, it's not a dark art, is it, Shep? I mean, it's actually, there are a number of things you can tick in terms of boxes around effortless.
Yes.
If it's repeatable, if you can go anywhere in the world and you can enjoy that same coffee, that's a great example of effortless. If you can...
You don't have to think about it.
Exactly right.
It's mental effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Or actually mental effortless.
Let's say if you could book a flight and know that within the next 10 minutes decide to just cancel it and go somewhere else, are you more likely to book that flight to begin with? The experience that's being offered directly influences your buying behaviors and your buying decision sort of ambitions. And so there's a marriage there.
Yeah.
But I agree, the product has to be reasonable.
Right. So the short answer is the experience is really, at the end of the day, more important than the product. If the product does what it's supposed to do, and experience can trump competitive features on a product because you really want that, particular product. I know a car, let's go back to car dealerships. I mentioned General Motors, but I know that there are some people that say to me, I'd probably rather have a little bit fancier car and I'm not going to mention any specific brands than the brand they're buying, but that dealership, man, I could never see myself going anywhere else.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect example. I've got that example myself. There was a particular brand that I got out of where the experience was so good. I immediately noticed the difference when I got into this other brand. And I was like, in my mind, I'm trying to justify going back to it. I wanted the new shiny product. But even today, I'm still sat here thinking, I know I'm going to go back to that brand at some stage because it was just so great in terms of what I wanted.
Yeah, I love to hear that. All right, so let's jump over to personalization, because part of the customer experience means that you understand who your customer is. And I talk a lot of times about what I called scaled personalization, where you feel you're being talked to by the brand, but actually you and 10,000 other customers who fall into the same bucket are getting the same message. It just resonates with you. And then there's true customized personalization to an individual or an individual company. Let's go there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's really about self-empowerment, isn't it? Ultimately, we can speculate. We can do a pretty good job using analytics and insights, knowledge that we derive around a particular customer. But you've got to understand things about their reasonably, you know, from a persona perspective, you've got to understand an awful lot. And then if you look at the technology trends, we talked about Gartner earlier, they make it clear that the biggest spend, it seems to be every year, is about in investing in technology to enable you to truly know your customer. It's a fait accompli. That's where people need to, you know, put some serious dollars to really know the customer. But you need to enable them to be able to let you know too. You need to enable them to be self-sufficient, self-enabled in sharing those kind of things and have both those unconscious biases and conscious biases to then improve their experience. I'll give you another personal world example.
All right. Netflix.
As I'm watching movies, if I hit the like button after I watch a movie, that conscious bias using the AI algorithm starts to inform, creating a channel that is perfect for me. So I've got the unconscious biases around, you know, what they suggest and what they think might be good. And then I've got the biases that I'm applying on top of that that creates the utopian experience for me. I know I'm always going to pop open that app and find the perfect movie for me. The combination of two is really what pod personalization has become, actually, Shep. Yeah.
Right. What I think when you give the thumbs up on whatever show you're watching on Netflix, what you're doing is you're telling the computer, the artificial intelligence that's actually finding other movies and TV series and whatever you know, the content you like to watch, it's confirming that they're on the right track, or it's helping them get on the right track.
Exactly. Self, you know, enabling us to be able to suggest what it is that we want, how we want it. In all of the things that we do now, as part of, you know, getting engaged with a customer, being able to do that as part of how we're engaging with staff and colleagues, whoever it is, as part of our ecosystem of people that we might be working with here, is absolutely essential if you want to start to realize the benefits of personalization in this world, this booming experience economy, where the data is just off the chart and the problem is trying to make sense of it all.
So I wrote about this a number of years ago. I went to a store, a retail store, and I walked in and this guy sold me, I went to buy ice skates, guy play hockey, and he sold me some hockey skates. And I came in like a month later to buy, I don't know, a roll of tape or whatever for my stick. And he said, "So how do you like those skates?" I thought, wow, he remembered me. Of course he did. They don't sell skates every day. And the few customers, well, they do sell skates every day. They just don't sell like hockey tape. The guy wouldn't remember me, but I bought, you know, a $500 pair of skates. Now I'm on Amazon and Amazon says, "Welcome back, Shep. The last time you were here, you were looking at this, you know?" And it's like, I just had the exact same digital experience that I had when I walked into the retail store, but it was digital. And then, you know, people who buy this also like that same type of thing you're talking about with Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it really is amazing how, you know, I truly believe Amazon was a front runner of this technology of personalizing the digital experience. And we've moved from being able to connect human to human. By the way, very few companies, and there are some out there, but very few are able to create a digital experience that actually rivals the human experience in such a way that makes you feel like you're talking to me, you know me, and it's very impressive.
I love the point there about, I mean, Amazon, it's all about, well, it's a great example of buy review. I want to feel good about the decision before I even make it. What's the first thing you do on Amazon? You're scrolling down a list of products that all look reasonably similar. You're looking for the one that's got the most reviews on it.
Yeah, and it helps you make a decision.
Okay, I'm going to use. But also what Amazon's done in terms of personalization is I can get my little spinning circle on my home device here. And the other day I got this and it played an announcement saying, "Just to let you know, one of the items in your favorites list is half price." Hold on a second. Then it said, "Do you want it delivered tomorrow?" Whoa. Hold on a minute. This is nuts. So if you consider the example of going to the store and buying the skates, now add to the fact that this guy is throwing, imagine he's picking up the phone or sending you a note to just say, when it happens, these are the things I know you're interested in, every single customer. And by the way, there's a deal to be had on the things that I know you're interested in. That's been automated using AI and it's brilliant. It's all informing this buying decision, all part of this, you know, very, very dramatically improved experience that we're now used to, Shep. And so, yeah, great examples.
I know we're getting tight on time, and I have one. That's okay. We're going to go a little bit long because I just want to share with you, and I want to bring it back to the communication systems that Avaya is known for, and the platform and the software that you provide. This is what amazes me, and only because we're talking about artificial intelligence and personalization. Artificial intelligence is not just about interacting with a customer. It can also be about interacting with a salesperson or a customer service agent on the phone, talking to their customer. When the customer calls in, immediately the record of the customer is brought up in front of the agent or the salesperson. We can see buying patterns, what they bought before. Now the customer asks a question, and the computer in the background is listening to the customer, artificial intelligence, and understanding what the customer is asking, and it's feeding the agent the answer. It's so easy for that agent to get that answer. And then not only that, it's saying, hey, you're talking to Shep. Shep has bought this before. He's asking this question. He's like 5,000 other customers that have done the exact same thing. Shep doesn't know it, but he needs to buy this. Now AI is supporting the agent who is going to give me a better experience. And by the way, to not recommend those, you know, maybe if it does cost me money, still to not recommend it is a bad customer experience, to not provide that to the customer.
Absolutely right. Effortless is the key word, right?
Yeah. Effortless again comes up.
If you talk to an agent, I've had one say, I didn't know half of this existed. I didn't know to search for these things. I didn't know to where we are. I just thought, I'll just continue to use all of this knowledge that I've just built up over the months, years, to make these kind of decisions and to decide what to tell the customer. Now they're being presented with things that make them feel energized, make them feel good, because they feel more empowered to do even better.
Exactly.
That positive cycle. So you're right. There's so many benefits to this technology, and it is transforming and supporting our ambitions in delivering these, the, you know, what it is that people are looking for, experiences first and foremost.
Yeah. All right. So we're down to the final question. I always ask the one thing question. What little nugget of information would you like to share with us as we exit today?
Avaya is actually doing an amazing thing in the world. We're actually transforming the experiences that people can have as part of the many things they're trying to do in their day, but personal and business ambition driven. And we are very excited about the One Cloud platform that we've enabled to be able to compose the right solutions for specific use cases, and complemented by what we call the Experience Builders partner ecosystem. And so I would just like to share the fact that, you know, we're excited about how we're enabling everything that you and I have just discussed. And that's really what we're doing at Avaya, in addition to that top line of being able to connect people and enable them to be more productive than they ever have been. So yeah, that's probably as simple as I can get it.
All right. And I think that basically sharing a little bit more about what you do, let's summarize it and bring it back to what this whole conversation was about. You're no longer just selling a product or a solution. You're selling the enablement of experience. And that's what it's all about.
Perfect, Chip. Perfect.
Awesome. Well, all right, everybody, that wraps it up. Another amazing interview here on Amazing Business Radio. Thank you, Simon, for being here. Much appreciate you. We're going to be back next week with another interview, so please tune in. Until that time, this is Shep Hyken reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.